If you're happy to be in the house this morning, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We appreciate you, O God, for the privilege and the grace again you've given to us to come in before your presence, to listen to your word, to learn at your feet, to fellowship one another. Lord, we receive your grace in this assembly this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for the spirit of the living God, the spirit of liberty, the spirit of order to take charge of atmosphere in the name of Jesus. We put down every device which is not of God, everything that wants to magnify himself against the knowledge of God. Today we put you under our feet in the name of Jesus. We speak of the blood this morning, the blood of the sprinkling, the blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. It will avail for all this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, the seal, Lord, the Lord of us who perform today's service in the mighty name of Jesus. At the end of today's service, O God, we have a cause to say thank you to you for thus far you have led us in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed be your holy name with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For the past 3 weeks, we have been discussing on the issue of faith. We have been treating series on faith. And the last one we have was last week Sunday when we treated fear and faith. This morning, the Lord wants us to look at another dimension of this faith that we are talking about. The Lord wants us to look at unbelief. Unbelief. As we go into the word, the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. Can we quickly open our Bible to the book of Acts? The book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 12. I want to read from verse 5. Bible says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two shoulders, and the guards before the door were kept keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and the light shone in prison. He struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chain fell off in his hands. Then the angel said unto him, "Guard yourself and tie your sandals." So he did, and he went with him. He said, "Put on your garment and follow me." If we come down, we find that in verse 12. He said, "So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, again named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, 'You are beside yourself.' Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, 'It is an angel.' Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished." Praise the Lord. Well, this particular passage of the scripture is not part of what is in the bulletin, but I just believe that we need to read this to actually have a background about what we want to be talking about this morning. And the message of unbelief basically is for the Christians, for those who are in God, those who have accepted Jesus as the Lord and the Savior of their life. Why? Because these are messages that we need to listen to often so that our Christian life will be perfected, so that the race that God has committed into our hands will not fall short of that standard. And I pray this morning will not fall short of the standard of God in the mighty name of Jesus. This topic is timely, very sensitive, and this is a message that we need more in the dispensation and time that we belong to. Why? Because the life of a Christian revolves around two words. The life of a believer revolves around two words. The world of the physical, or what we call the sensitive perception. The world has to do with that every sense of organs that we have. The world has to do with touching, you know, with smelling, with hearing, and all that. Then we have the supernatural world. And from the passage of the scripture, we found out that Christian is a tribal being. We are a spirit being. We have a soul and we live in a body. Therefore, inasmuch as the Father will live in this natural world, we must be of conscious of the fact that we are Christian. We are born of God. We are born of His Spirit. We are born of His grace. Therefore, everything about us, first of all, must have an occurrence in the realm of the Spirit before the physical world. But today, one of the challenges contending against our faith is because we stay too much into this physical realm. So that's why we're having challenges to grow or to nurture our spirit. Or sometimes we're having challenges to know the reality of what God has done or is saying in our life. And one of the problem or the challenge or you know the challenge that's contending against our faith is the issue of unbelief. Then what is unbelief? We need to look at the definitions here. What is unbelief? According to Charles Finney, unbelief is opposite of faith. Unbelief is opposite of faith. Unbelief is defined as withholding of inward, faith conscious assurance or confidence in God. Anything that falls short of you putting your total trust, not 99.9, but 100% trust in Him is unbelief. Another definition says it's a state of mind that leaves human conduct uninfluenced by the truth of the Word of God. That is another definition of unbelief. Anything that will not gear your spirit to live in accordance with the Word of God, it's unbelief. Praise the Lord. Another definition says it is withholding of confidence as to live both body and soul under the influence of error. Which means if you are not careful as a believer, you can actually be walking in error and you'll be thinking you are walking in truth. Praise the Lord. So unbelief manifests itself in this form of way in the life of a believer. Praise the Lord. Unbelief will not destroy our testimony in Jesus' name. To pursue a cause as if the truth of God were not true. These are definitions of what unbelief is all about. And Spurgeon too also defines it as a form of doubt of divine veracity or a mistrust of God's power. When you begin to, you know, to look at the word of God with levity, when you don't pay a close attention to what you need to do, when you don't regard anything that is divine as a more important, these are the evidences of unbelief. And the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Before I go ahead, I want to share a story. There's a particular pastor in Nigeria, in the biggest city in Nigeria, is Ibadan also. Presently, I think, a pastor, Vineyard Christian Charismatic Church, or Pastor Dr. Shola Kolade. Vibrant, yeah, Dr. Shola Kolade. He was formerly with New Generation Bible Church, Kano. Then one of the services came to a branch in Lagos and was ministering. While he was ministering, they were sweating. A lady was sitting in front of the church, and the lady stood up, took a handkerchief, and gave it to the man of God. The man of God collected the handkerchief and used it to wipe his face and all that. And while the lady was about, you know, to go back to her seat, the word of the Lord came and said to her that you have been writing a particular exam for the past 3 times or so, and that is the final stage of that exam. That the Lord said, because you have done this to the man of God, you will pass the next one you are going to write. Praise the Lord. Now, it is the duty of this lady to believe whether what the pastor said, it will be true in her life or not. But because she held on to the word, later she came out to testify that she actually she sat for the exam. She has been writing that exam for the past 3 times. Then she wrote the one after the pastor, gave the word, and she passed. Why? Because she held on to the word of God. Because she believed so much in the totality of the word. I remember the Bible says, believe the Lord thy God, you'll be established. but believe your prophet, you will do what? You will prosper. Here he's saying to Spurgeon, said, it is a form of doubt of divine veracity. Adimi, that lady, doubted the word of life. She wouldn't have gotten her testimony. But thank God she held on to that belief. And that's exactly what God wants every Christian to do. Once a pastor stepped in here and started prophesying on you, he's not speaking as a man. He's speaking as the oracle of God. Learn to believe those words and hold on to it. Those words, they have the power to produce results. And as you listen to the word of God, it will produce results in your life in the name of Jesus. Now, from all these divinations that we have given, from all the divinations we have talked about on unbelief, we cannot conclude by saying anything that is done outside faith is a sin. Unbelief is anything that's not done by faith. Anything that was contrary to the faith of God in our lives is sin. Therefore, we can conclude that unbelief is sin. Praise the Lord. So if you read Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Romans 14, 23. Please, if you are there, you can read. Praise the Lord. Anything that is not of faith is sin. Therefore, we can conclude that unbelief is a sin. Praise the Lord. Since anything that is not done by faith is sin, then unbelief is one of those things or one of those challenges that is confronting our faith. Praise the Lord. Now, we need to look at the consequences of unbelief. The consequences of unbelief in the life of a believer. The first one is the problem of unfulfilled destiny. Praise the Lord. Unbelief, one of the consequences of unbelief is a problem of unfulfilled destiny. Sometimes when I look at people I've come across in this city, in this country, and I found out that they got too much of potential to succeed in life. But because they're in a Western world where all things are ready, where there seems to be just add one and two together, you have your result. To an extent, they have been able to limit their own ability, limit their own horizon to what they see around. And the Lord is saying to them that you people can do much more than what you have. It's just for you to launch out. Why? Because they are confined. Which means once you work in such an environment, you may not be able to fulfill your destiny. Once you have an unbelief in your life, you may not be able to get to the maximum where God wants you to get to. If you look at Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 to 13, it gave us an account of so many people who actually were in Egypt and they came out of Egypt. And of all the people that came out of Egypt, it's only few of them that actually got to the promised land. Why? The passage of the scripture recorded that those people that actually got to the promised land, got to the promised land because they had good report, because they held on to the word of God. Whereas those people, the millions of people that were wasted away between Egypt and before the promised land, they died as a result of unbelief. And the Lord is saying to us this morning, as a believer, you need to know that one of the consequences of unbelief is it will not make you to get to your promised land. And I pray this morning that every form of unbelief in our heart that may want to contend against the word of God in our lives will be put to death this morning in the name of Jesus. I pray that this morning, as we hear this word and listen to practice and put this word to work, the Lord will cause our destiny to be fulfilled in this land in the mighty name of Jesus. So there's so many people that came out of Egypt. In fact, Bible records gave us about 6 million people actually came out of Egypt with the mind of getting to the promised land. But there are only few people that got to promised land, about 6 people or so, and their household. I know of Caleb, I know of Joshua. Even Moses saw the promised land from afar. Can we read that passage of the Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 to 13? Let's be fast. Praise the Lord. God bless you, brother. Thanks. From what we have read, we have seen how it is good to hold on to God, how it is good to listen and walk according to God's word. Irrespective of the phases you go through, you know, the experiences you will go through in getting your results or getting to fulfill destiny. Caleb actually waited on God for 45 years. So as to get to the promised land. But so many other people who went to spy the land, they came back with evil report. But Caleb and Joshua and few of that came back with good report, and the Lord gave them the promised land. So unbelief, oftentimes, all the time, is always causing us, you know, not to have a fulfilled destiny. Once you have unbelief in your life, the ability to make it to the end or achieving your goal in life is very, you know, is probability. Praise the Lord. Another thing, another consequences of unbelief is death. Another consequences of unbelief is death. This passage of the scripture that we are going to read, 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 to 19. We may not read everything because of our time. But it's a story about the state, you know, of economic hardship in the life of the children of Israel. Why they were actually, it got to a stage that they were killing their children, you know, to eat. Some of them were actually, you know, but there was famine in the land. There was nothing. There was like a siege over the land. And the man of God prayed and said, God said, according to this time of life, they shall be selling this and this and this at the cheapest price. This price, at that price and all that. Then one of the counsel of the king said, how can that be possible? How can that be possible? Can we just go, let's read that place, please. Let's read that place. Praise the Lord. This story is a very interesting story. It's about the story about the state, you know, the land of Israel, that they were being besieged by the enemy. There was a siege all over the city. They could not go out to buy. They could not come in to buy. There was no form of transaction. Then in the midst of this, the Lord gave a word to his prophet that in this land, a shekel of so-so shall be sold for this. And one of the advisor or the minister of the king said, how can this be possible? But there, the man of God told him right in his face that this thing will happen before your face, but will not be part of this fulfillment. At the end of the day, he was trampled and he died. Why? Because of unbelief. The Lord wants us to have, you know, in our heart, to hold the word of God, you know, seriously, to be, you know, to get convicted by the word, to believe that there's nothing that can produce results in our life outside the word. Because unbelief can actually lead to both physical and spiritual death. Once you don't believe God, you don't hold on to his word, all the promises he has told you may lead you to a total separation from him. And I pray we will not be separated from God in the name of the Lord Jesus. And another consequences of unbelief is that unbelief will not make you to profit. Unbelief will not make you to achieve results. Unbelief will not make you to reach your goal. Unbelief will not make a Christian to get to that place of personal and, self-fulfillment. Praise the Lord. Bible said concerning in Hebrew chapter 4 verse 1 and 2, it said the word that was spoken could not profit those people. Why? Because of unbelief. God has colored with his word. Why? Because the word produces result. The word of God has the ability to produce, ability to, to reproduce in our life, to give us everything that is good in terms of our health, in terms of our finances, in whatever ramification we want him to, to do in our lives. The word of the Lord is always there to achieve results. But once you have an unbelief in your heart, you may not be able to achieve anything. Either, in things of God or in the, things of a personal development. So unbelief is not, is an evil thing. It's a sin, and we need to work against that in our life as a believer in the name of Jesus. Another thing is that unbelief leads to profanity. Unbelief leads to profanity. What is profanity? Treating the word of God with levity, not placing premium on what God has said concerning you. Not, not placing, any result, any importance or anything that has to do with you. Praise the Lord. This is a story about, about the family of Isaac, about Jacob and Esau. Esau, by the virtue of being the firstborn, according to, the Jewish tradition, is entitled to a double portion of inheritance as a firstborn. That is the Jewish tradition. Once you are a firstborn, you are entitled to a double portion of inheritance. But because he was hungry, because he needed to eat, he was starving, needed to eat, he told Jacob in principle, even that, don't worry, just give me what you have and take the position of a firstborn. And why? Bible referred to him as a profane person. A profane person is not somebody that, that is worldly. Is somebody who doesn't place, premium interest on anything that is important. But the issue of Bethlehem was important to Jacob. He understood, though God has said it, Jacob I loved. But notwithstanding, the principle of the kingdom of God cannot, cannot be jettisoned. Why? Because he understand what to be a firstborn is. You understand the implication to be of being a firstborn, and to be a firstborn in the land of Israel, you are entitled to a double portion of inheritance. And if you look at it, that is why God calls Reuben. He said, "You are the first strength. You are the essence of dignity, but you will not excel. Why? Because he too did something against that position. Now here, God told him that you are the firstborn by birth, but he sold his birthright to his brother because of food. So profanity oftentimes is as a result of unbelief. You know, sometimes when we open our Bible, we just try to open our Bible and God is speaking to us in a particular place, I love you and I will bless you. You know, sometimes we just look over it. Why? Because it is not what you intend to read, but along the line, it just came about it accidentally. But there's nothing about the word of God that is accidental. There is no coincidence with the things of God. So that's why we need to believe the word and hold the word tenaciously in our heart. And as we do that, the Lord will bless us in the name of Jesus. At the end of the day, everything that has to do with the promises of God concerning Ishmael were being taken over by who? By Jacob. Why? Because he was a profane person. Because of what? He lacked, you know, the sensitivity to the word of God. And the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. And unbelief also will not make a believer to experience the rest of God. Unbelief will not make a believer to experience the rest of God. Yes, there's a rest for the people of God. In Isaiah chapter 20, verse 12, it says, with stammering lips will I speak unto my people, that this is the rest. We are caused the weary to rest. When God is talking about rest, he's not talking about sleeping. He's talking about you being comfortable on every side. He's talking about you not experiencing any difficulties in your life endeavor. He's talking about you, you know, making and achieving result with, you know, minimal input into anything you are doing. He's talking about you having results all around you. He's talking about you not living a life of struggling. A life of, you know, breathing from one, you know, walking like an elephant and thinking like grant. You know, these are things that God is saying. And once you have an unbelief, you will not be able to experience the rest of God. Yet, God has said there's a rest for the people of God. And I pray this morning that we enter our rest in the name of Jesus. I pray this morning that the rest of God shall be fulfilled in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Then what are the antidotes of unbelief? What can we do to go against unbeliefs in our life? What should we do to actually reposition us to be able to live and trust and believe in the word of God? Because, you know, from further down that we have been discussing on the issue of unbelief. And we concluded that unbelief is a message for the believers in this end time, for those who have accepted Jesus as the Lord and the Savior of their life. And we said one of the challenges that we are faced with, or that is contending against our faith in this end time, is the issue of unbelief. Why? Because a Christian lives in two worlds. We are Christians that live in two worlds. We live in this physical world, then we live in the spiritual world. And we know the spiritual control the physical. So we spend most time with the physical, so we place less premium on the spiritual. But this morning, the Lord wants to reorder our priority by taking of the spiritual first before the physical. Because the spirit determines the outcome of the physical. And we decided that we will be discussing about the definition of unbelief. We said unbelief is anything that's opposite of faith. Which means anything according to Romans chapter 14, verse 23, that is not of faith is sin. Therefore, unbelief is sin. And the Lord wants us to work against unbelief if there's any in our lives this morning in the name of Jesus. So what are the antidote of unbelief? Antidote against unbelief. The first one is faith in God. The first one is faith in God and in his word. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Therefore, you must believe God. You must believe that God is the author and the finisher of your faith. You must trust him for everything about you. And as you do this, you will be working against unbelief in the name of the Lord Jesus. The second one is you must pray about it. You must pray against unbelief. Unbelief will not want you to fulfill the destiny that God has given to you. Will want to hinder you achieving results of what God has destined you to become. Then what you need to do is having exercised faith or trusting or believing in God, then you must also pray about it. There's a story in the Bible, in the book of Mark, where a man went to Jesus and said, "Please heal my son." Jesus says, "If you can believe." You know, at the time, the man said, "I believe, but please help my unbelief." So God can also hear you when you cry to him, "Lord, I'm trusting you for this particular project." Then from all indices, from all indication, I'm not achieving result. I'm not qualified for this, but I want to believe in your word. Even at the time when you can't, you know, your strength to believe, you know, as you know, it's no more there, then cry to the Lord. Let the Lord hear you, and the Lord will answer you in the name of Jesus. Another thing we need to do to work against unbelief in our life is to guard our heart. Bible says we should guide our heart jealously. Our heart is the battleground. You see, I tell people that to achieve result is not the physical thing. It's more of your mindset. It's more of who you are inside of you. You know, sometimes when you have a goal before you and you believe, "I'm not worthy to accomplish this task," definitely you cannot get results, which means you are working against that. You are saying with your own ability, with your own understanding, you cannot do it. But the Lord is saying, irrespective of your pedigree, irrespective of your level, irrespective of your qualification, if you can think it, you can achieve it. And that is just what we need to understand. That what we need to know is, when you deal with just thought in your heart, the battleground is not the physical war. It's not anything than your heart. That's where the battleground is. And that's why the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it come what? The issues of heart. I tell people, you don't speak from the head. You speak from your heart. Bible says, out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The brain just where the signal is to have coherence. But everything you say is from the heart. So you must guard your heart. All those limitations that you have been placing on yourself, is better to begin to deal with them from the mind. Begin to tell yourself that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. As you do this, the Lord will bless you in the name of Jesus. Another thing to work against unbelief is you hear the word of God continuously. When you hear the word of God, you are building a faith. You are building your faith. You are building the word in your heart to work against any challenges that might come your way. And once you hear, listen to the word, Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. In psychology of learning, we believe that once you read a particular material for 11 times, it becomes permanent in you. Because they believe that there's a law of repetition. It creates everlasting impression. Once you read a particular material for 11 times, you don't have to cram. Merely reading it over and over again for 11 times become part and parcel of you. That has been working for me, and I believe this is just a need for you to understand that you need to be hearing the word of God on a daily basis. You need to be hearing the word of God so that you'll be able to build your faith against all these things we see around us. And we are in such a world that, you know, it's all about bureaucracy. It's all about you having this or you get this. If you don't have this, you don't get this. But you know, sometimes God wants you to exercise your faith that, though I want this thing, I'm not qualified for it, but with you, I can do it. And once you have that faith, you know, you just get results. For faith is substance of things that's hoped for, and the evidence of things that is not seen. Praise the Lord. Then another thing we need to know is that we need to allow the word of God to dwell in our heart. That is the concept of balanced diet that pastor preached about. Praise the Lord. Can we read Colossians chapter 3 verse 16? That will be the last scripture for this Sunday school. Colossians chapter 3. Praise the Lord. We found out that everything about the antidote against unbelief is about the heart. It's about the heart. You can speak to yourself. You can build up yourself. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like praying. You know, have you not been there? I've been there before. You don't feel like praying. You don't feel like doing anything. You are, you know, you are expressing a low profile, and a lot of things are probably working against you. That is even the time for you to begin to speak to yourself. when David went to a battle, he came back, they saw that they've taken everybody captive. The Bible said he wept. I had no more courage to weep. He lost all the strength again even to weep. But Bible said he did something. He encouraged himself in the Lord. So how do you encourage yourself? Is by, you know, singing to yourself, you know, in songs, in hymns, making melody in your heart, pondering the wonderful things God has done in the past, you know, emphasizing and focusing on what you know he has the potential to do, and things, and you praying ahead of things that is yet to be done, and the Lord will do it in the name of Jesus. So please always walk with these words: faith in God and in his word. Pray about it constantly, then guide your heart jealously, because that's where the battleground is. Don't allow your mind to be a garbage in, garbage out. Don't allow anybody to put anything which is not of God. Don't let people give you a low self-esteem. Don't let them give you, you know, public. Don't let them be telling you your weaknesses. Build yourself up in God in such a way that anything that is negative will not have a cause in your heart, in the name of Jesus. And hear the word of God constantly. Listening to the word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And let the word of God have a free course. Let it have an expression in your heart. Sing to yourself, building up yourself for your most holy faith. Pray in the spirit, and the Lord will help you as you do this, in the name of Jesus. Any question? If there's no question, can we bow down our head and pray? Father, we appreciate you. We give you glory. We give you the adoration this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you and with the people of God about the issue of unbelief. And as we walk according to this, you know, principles, Lord, you will help us in Jesus' name. Lord, and as we continue service, you'll be with us, you will flow with us in the spirit, and we'll achieve results again, Lord God, in Jesus' name. We'll thank you at the end of today's service. We have the cause to glorify your holy name. In Jesus' name, we pray.